season, it is our privilege to celebrate baptism for Doug and Gail Gentry's 4 grandchildren, Aaron and Chase Stewart, as well as Maddox and Lexi McLeod, as all 4 of them not only shared in the Christian Beliefs class program with Jim, but also made their confessions of faith here in the Lord's house several weeks ago. But the reason why we baptize again by the form of immersion in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ is celebrated in the book of Romans, as the Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 6, beginning with the 3rd verse. For surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. And so that text confirms for us why we celebrate baptism by immersion, as indeed Aaron and Maddox, Chase and Lexi come forward this morning. Based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lexi's almost short enough that she's almost already baptized. Based upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
What a beautiful way to start a service, huh? Awesome. Well, welcome, folks, to the Lord's house on this 4th Sunday of the Advent season. The announcements on the back of the bulletin announcement flyer welcome you to join dinner groups that we hope to get underway for enjoyable fellowship and dinners in the upcoming new year. And the bulletin announcement flyer on the inside also mentions the Christmas card, the food pantry drive, and the upcoming warmth tree. Then on Christmas Eve, this coming Saturday, our children will present a program at the 5 o'clock p.m. service, and then the traditional candlelight service will be at 7 o'clock. And please remember that there will be only one worship service at 10 a.m. and no Sunday school classes on the Sundays of Christmas Day and also New Year's Day. Our thanks to everyone who provided the beautiful poinsettias in memory or honor of loved ones and friends. The bulletin insert today indicates those being remembered and honored. If you ordered one of these poinsettias, you will be able to take it home after the Christmas Eve services this coming Saturday evening. And please pick up your 2023 giving envelopes and mark your name off the pickup list on the table back in the foyer. This will save us a postage cost of mailing them out to you. And our genuine thanks to Melanie Doak's family, to Sarah Lynn, for providing the peace plant here in Melanie's and in her memory, as it's been adorning the front of our communion table on the past several Sunday mornings. And our thanks this morning to Jonathan Durham for once again serving as our accompanist in Lenora's place this morning. Good to have you here, Jonathan. Thanks for your presence. And folks, may we now begin our may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Teach us to live according to your truth. We will always trust in you. We'll now sing hymn number 155, stanzas 1 and 4 of Angels We Have Heard on High.
Loving God, as we continue to journey through the Advent season toward Christmas, we are grateful once again to be here in your house, gathered with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that our hearts continue to be open to the joy of receiving the Christ child into this world, and as we begin our worship service, we invite his living presence, as we symbolize by the lighting of our Christ candle just a few moments ago by Deacon. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, as we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The light of the Advent wreath increases by the lighting of the fourth and final weekly candle this morning, which this year we're calling the Candle of God's Guidance. Through the centuries, God has guided humanity on the pathway of godly living through the patriarchal fathers, the establishment of the Hebrew nation, the teachings of the law and the prophets, and ultimately through the inspiration of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is thus in humble obedience that we seek to follow the guiding hand of our God of infinite possibilities, who intervened into our fallen nature and gave us eternal hope through his Son and our Savior, Jesus. As Dean and Dodi Nguyen come forward and light the four weekly candles of the Advent wreath this morning.
We first relight the candles of the first three Sundays. This year we have called them the candles of godly possibilities, godly intervention, and obedience to God. This morning, the light of the Advent wreath increases with the fourth and final weekly candle. Our attention is drawn more closely to the wreath as the brilliance of these four candles brings an even greater measure of light into God's house. The increased light reminds us that we are always in need of light, as it is not only that shuns away the darkness, but as it also lights a pathway of confidence before us. And as the people of faith, we recognize that God offers us guiding light, not only through his word, the law, and the prophets, but also by the living example of his Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. As Christ, Jesus said to himself in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." For God's supreme and everlasting guidance in our lives, we give thanks as we call this fourth candle of the Advent wreath the candle of guidance.
Come surely, Lord Jesus, as dawn follows night. Our hearts long to greet you as roses the light. Salvation, draw near us, our vision engage. One candle is lit for the hope of the age. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. One candle is lit for the reign of God's peace. Come festively sing while awaiting the birth. Join angels in dancing from heaven to earth. Wave banners of good news, lift high thankful praise. One candle is lit for the joy of these days. Come wander where lion and lamb gently play, where evil is banished and faith takes the day. A babe in a manger to fool the world's eyes. One candle is lit for God's loving surprise.
All right, let's take a few moments to greet and welcome those around us this morning. folks. Please be seated. Please be seated. All right, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. All my pretty kids among all these pretty flowers. Yeah. Do you like my little tree? I like my little tree. It's kind of a cute little tree, don't you think? And you don't like my little tree? Well, I like my little tree. He's just a normal little tree, isn't he? See, but I have a bag over here. So I wonder what would happen to my little tree if I take my little tree and put it in that bag, and maybe, just maybe, we can get some Christmas magic on the tree, some Christmas spirit, you think? Shall we try it? Okay, let's try it. Let's see. We want some Christmas spirit. We want a tree with some Christmas spirit in it, and although that's a lovely little tree, it doesn't really have much Christmas spirit, does it? No, not really. It's just kind of a normal little tree, just like any little tree that you see. Okay, but if I give it some Christmas spirit, what happens? It's a Christmas tree! Whoa! That's pretty awesome, huh? That is a tree that's got some Christmas spirit. So what is Christmas spirit anyway? What do you think? Do you know what Christmas spirit is? That's right. Boy, we got a smart one up here. That comes right from God, and it comes because of Jesus, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what Christmas spirit is all about. So do you know what? You can be just like that little tree. You can put on Christmas spirit. Oh, you can. Yeah. Yes, and you can too. You all can put on Christmas spirit. Everybody can put on Christmas spirit. It's taken that Jesus love and that Jesus joy, and it's putting it right on, putting it right in our hearts. That's right, because that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? It's all that good stuff that Jesus gave to us. That's Christmas spirit. And it makes us happier and brighter, just like that little tree. Should we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the spirit of Christmas, the joy, the love, the compassion, all of the gifts that Jesus brings to us. We hope that each and every day we put Christmas spirit on, not just this time of year, but every single day of the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And as we go to God in prayer, a number of folks for us to remember this new week. We want to lift up Wanda Egret. And Wanda, we're delighted you are present with us this morning. Bless you. Glad you're here after going through surgery this past week. We also lift up Jill McCombie. She is now home from the hospital, still making her recovery.
We also lift up Larry Pitts. He's been in our prayers for the last several months as his concerns arose this last May, but he now has an infection in the jaw that is a concern. We're hoping that they're able to get that addressed here quickly. Also, we lift up Lois Strux. She was in the hospital as a consequence of a fall this past week, but is now back at her place at Addington Place. We hope things progress well for Lois. We also continue to keep Jerry and Betty Donahue in our prayers with their health matters. And among friends and family members, we also lift up Linda Stevens' sister, Donna, and Olin, the father-in-law of Linda's daughter, Lisa. Olin's wife passed away in June of this year. He is a cancer survivor, but is also dealing with some throat concerns at the present time, and certainly a number of other people we've been lifting up over the last several months. May we go to God in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is our privilege to offer you praise and worship on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season. As a child finds assurance by taking hold of the hand of a parent or dear loved one who is trusted, so also do we experience great confidence as we embrace your presence with us as we make our way through each day. As Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26 tells us, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." There are indeed those times in which the challenges we face make us feel that we are groping our way through the darkened tunnel of the unknown, especially as we may be apprehensive about the outcome of circumstances. But as we have lit the candle of guidance on the Advent wreath this morning, may each of us know we can embrace your presence with us and therefore know that we shall be victorious over any concerns that may come our way. And as we celebrate Christ's presence among us each Advent season, may we remember that Christ is the guiding light who shines forth a brilliant example of your great love and confident guidance. For as John chapter 18, verse 12 tells us, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." For these assurances, O God, we know we can step forward with a great celebration and joy as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Every child.
Israel's longing for the coming of the Messiah is clearly expressed in this morning's communion hymn, as the first stanza states, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. And yet the refrain certainly expresses confidence that the Messiah will indeed come, as it states, Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. As we partake in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper this fourth Advent Sunday, we are blessed with the knowledge that our Lord Jesus did indeed come and paid that ransom, not only for Israel, but indeed for all of us who repent of sin and welcome Christ as Lord and Savior. Our communion hymn this morning, we sing stanzas 1 and 4 of number 119, O come, Emmanuel. As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. And in celebration of your first communion, if you will, after baptism, we share with each of you the bread of Christ. Go ahead, partake. And in the same way, after the supper, we know that he took a cup and gave thanks to God and gave it to them and said, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And so I share with each of you a cup. And as each of you partake, we remember that every time we share in the bread and the cup, we celebrate Christ's presence in the here and now and always, if you all go ahead and partake. And as each of you now have shared in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper, as a first act of your commitment to God in Christ after your baptism, it certainly is my privilege to also share with you the baptism certificates and also the chalice. This symbol of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ is the cross of St. Andrew, and it centralizes that the Lord's Supper is the center of our worship in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And so, Chase, I share with you your baptism certificate and your chalice. You can put the cup in there if you want to. And Aaron, here's your baptism certificate and your chalice. And Matic, here is yours, baptism certificate and chalice. And again, Lexi, yours as well. Bless you. And may we now have a word of prayer, if you all will step back for our deacons to come. And I will have a word of prayer and then distribute the elements.
Lord, we gather here today to remember this is the season we celebrate your Son's birth. As we gather at this table, we are reminded of his sacrifice for us, his gift so we may know true forgiveness. Lord, as we take these emblems, bless them and bless us as we may know your love fills us and guides us every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 reminds us that God has rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son, by whom we are set free, that is, our sins are forgiven. In gratitude, we therefore give a portion of our resources for the benefit of others and for the glory of God, as Judy first leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, it's with joyful hearts that we come together today to give our tithes and offerings to sustain this church and its growth, and to give to our many missions that we contribute to that help the needy. We ask that you would bless this offering and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly realms. Praise Father, Son, and Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. I can tell from the clock I'm probably going to keep y'all a little bit past that noon time. But, you know, that's going to be all right, because we all know that the Chiefs don't really win a game until the second half anyway, right? So they never win the game in the first half. So we've got time, right? Right. You know, it certainly was our joy to celebrate baptism for the Gentry's grandchildren. But I also want to celebrate, as we've had Aaron and Chase and Lexi and Maddox all come forward, that this morning George Scher also came forward in the first service and made his confession of faith. And I know that was certainly a moment of celebration for the Scher family, as again, you know, Gina and all her family grew up here in the church. As some of you know, George is the grandson of the former pastor here of Berry Christian Church. So we're looking forward to George's baptism, maybe as early as next Sunday, Christmas Day. We'll see how that works out, or another Sunday for sure. Scripture text I want to share with you this morning, first of all, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. That's a profound measure of testimony about the heavens, if you will, the stars and the planets of the heavens. But yet we see a little later on how indeed the stars and planets is what made up the Bethlehem star. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and loving God, as Christmas Day approaches and we are privileged to behold your living presence made manifest in the Christ child's presence among us, may we, like the wise men, the prophets, the patriarchal fathers of ancient times, humbly seek your guidance. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Long before the days of GPS, we used to rely on our spouses to help us navigate our way through unfamiliar cities. Yet such cooperative attempts could likely turn disastrous, as the guiding spouse would exclaim, "I know I said left, but I meant to say right. And as long as we've been married, you should have known that." You know, during the early days of the GPS business, they often weren't that helpful, especially since they did not have that real-time directional adjustment built in. In the summer of 2011, I was navigating my way through Oklahoma City at about 11 o'clock at night, only to realize that several miles of the entire freeway was being rebuilt several yards and or maybe even as much as a half mile to the side. And as I sought to maneuver my way through, the GPS kept sending me to places where the former highway was either blocked off or completely torn out. And finally, I had to stop at a convenience store, hunt around for an old-fashioned paper map. Remember those? You know, they used to be in the front of the store. By this time in 2011, I'm looking in the back somewhere, you know, because nobody buys a map anymore, of course. But I did find a map of Oklahoma City. Then I went outside, found the signpost, figure out what corner I was really on at the time. Then, of course, had to locate that on the map. And then after that, I was certainly able to find a point of orientation. And I finally made my way from the western to the eastern side of the city and on to see our son Jonathan at the military base there. When we think about our faith in God, we realize, though, that through the centuries, God has been offering guidance for humanity in old-fashioned ways, like that old paper map. You know, my son still teases me about paper maps. Do your grandchildren tease you about paper maps? Any of you still have them in your car? Am I the only one? No, I'm not the only one. I still dig those things out, old-fashioned way. What I would share with you is that God has old-fashioned ways of communicating with humanity. It's just that, sadly, we live in a time when too many people in our culture think that those things are out of date and inconsequential. Yet this Advent season, through the lessons of the Advent wreath and the sermons that I've tried to match up with what you've heard read at the candles of the Advent wreath, I've attempted to remind all of us of those old-fashioned revelations of God that are clearly evident in the Scriptures, and what we'll also find out this morning are evidenced in the stars. This Advent season, we've been reminded that through the unlikely births of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and continuing through the house of David, God set forth a pathway for his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ to be born of the Virgin Mary. And through that birth, he was then fully God and fully human, and thus qualified to be that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. This is the heart of the salvation message, and it is clearly evident if we just know those old-fashioned stories of the Bible. So on this fourth Sunday of Advent, let us look again at these guiding points. First of all, God guided us through the patriarchal fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and through them established the nation of Israel. As the text tells us in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, God said to Abram, I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. And that blessing was to be the conveyance of God's love to humanity for generations and centuries to come. Second, God's voice of guidance came through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, many others. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And in 2 Peter in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Third, we know, and we've already shared all this too, that John the Baptist came into the world. And what we have to understand is he was actually a fulfillment of a Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. And finally, of course, the pinnacle of God's guidance came through the most profound and intimate expression of God on earth. And that, of course, is the presence of God's Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate in the Advent season. As Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 state, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And as Jesus says of himself in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So you see, in every one of these instances, we see God's guidance and this story evolving where everything from the very beginning, and again, remember that very first message, when we were talking about God's possibilities, I lifted up how even at the fall of Adam and Eve, God already told us a plan of salvation in those very first verses of the book of Genesis. We carry that all the way through the Old Testament and into the New. But here, today, we're on this fourth Sunday of the Advent season. We've all set up our nativity sets in our homes, in places of business, and even indeed here in churches. But what we also need to understand is that God also has communicated his providence and his presence among us, even with the stars and the planets of the heavens. Definitely a most ancient way. Again, if you look at that text from the Psalms, day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They do not use words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. So have you ever thought of the planets and stars of actually communicating God's message? They did through what we call the Star of Bethlehem. Now, many, many years, people have been discounting that whole business of the Star of Bethlehem, saying, oh, that was just made up. It's all made up, all man-made, you know, just a myth. But the truth is that we know that there were magi. They came from the east, the text tells us. What you must understand is that they were likely of the lineage of Daniel. Remember Daniel? Where did he live? Where he was taken? Babylon. Where were some of his ancestors most likely, years and centuries later? Babylon. Who were those who were following the stars who came from the east? They came from Babylon. Likely descendants of Daniel. And yet the text of Matthew chapter 2, we know that they came to King Herod and they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Through the centuries, again, people have thought that this is all man-made, made-up stuff. But now what you must appreciate is that we have computer software programs that are not only used nowadays to help a scientist to develop the mathematical formula as to where certain planets are going to be in certain time periods. That's how we get to the moon. That's how we get to Mars. That's how we get to the other planets well beyond. It's all done by math. That math has now been put into computerized programs, and those programs can not only go forward in time, but they can also go backwards in time. And then they can tell you the precise locations of stars and planets even during the time of Christ. And if you want to, you can even buy that particular program and put it on your own computer if you want. But those programs tell us today that the Star of Bethlehem was in fact a unique arrangement. The planet Jupiter, the king planet, appearing to align with the star Regulus, which in Babylon meant regal, or to the Romans was rex, or king. So basically what we have is the king planet. And then what happened is that it came into a conjunction with a star named Regulus. And this occurred on three occasions. And on the second occasion, retrograding or seeming to stand still in the night sky. After this appearance with Regulus, Jupiter then moved across the sky until it joined with the planet Venus, the mother planet. Their conjunction was so bright that it is believed to have been the most brilliant appearance ever seen in the night sky. And it is still displayed in planetariums. Even this day, if you go to a planetarium during the Christmas season, they will show you that arrangement. They may not tell you it's all about Jesus, because they may not believe that, but they will show you that. But the movement of Jupiter, first with the star Regulus and then with the planet Venus, began about September of 3 BC and concluded about June of 2 BC, thus alerting the wise men of the birth of the king and giving them time to make it to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem to see the Christ child, who by that time was a toddler, to whom Herod would be searching. Now, if you really want to know more about all that, all you have to do, use your phone, use your computer, Google BethlehemStar.com. You're going to be looking for a program, and it's going to be by an attorney named Mr. Larson. Now, on most people's Google searches, that is actually the first website that pops up for BethlehemStar.com. If you want to, you can read their entire lessons about the Bethlehem Star. Or if you want to, for less than $8, you can actually purchase the DVD. And you can give it as a gift for people at Christmas. Because maybe you've got somebody in your life who's still very skeptical. Oh, I just don't believe it. All this old business about all this God stuff is all man-made. Until the stars of the heavens and the planets lined up in a miraculous way. During a time, somebody in particular was born. And we call him the Messiah. guidance. God wants to guide your life. He's been revealing that guidance through the centuries. We, in our arrogance, somehow think we've got it all correct. We know all the answers and we don't need God. No. That's a lot of people. Satan likes when people think that way. But I'm telling you that the patriarchal fathers, the prophets, John the Baptist, the stars and planets of the heavens have been telling us for centuries about the coming of God's presence among us. It takes humility to truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that as the more we learn about his life, the more God will guide us in the here and now. And so I ask you, where are you today? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day that I know you can make that transition. You can accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today is the day where you can come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation this morning, number 170, How Great Our Joy. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of 170, please.
While by the sheep we watched at night, lo, there appeared an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God who reigns on high. Glory to God who reigns on high. Jesus, the gift from heaven above, fills all our hearts with joy and love. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Glory to God who reigns on high. Glory to God who reigns on high.
A word of thanks, Jonathan, to you for your assistance today. Thank you so much. And again, a reminder to you all, we have Christmas Eve services, 5 o'clock this coming Saturday. Children will have a program, but we'll also have the Lord's Supper and some other typical parts of worship. Then again, 7 o'clock will be our candle light service, where we take the light from the Christ candle and share it with candles all across the sanctuary. So we welcome you to either the 5 or 7 o'clock services on Saturday. Then next Sunday indeed is Christmas Day, but we'll only have one service at 10 o'clock, one service at 10. And no Sunday school that particular Sunday, and we hope that works out okay for everybody. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart from your house, we rejoice in your presence among us through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we are privileged to experience this most intimate relationship with you because your love for us is indeed so great. Guide us as we step forward and approach Christmas Day. Amen.
Blessed be the God of Israel, who comes to set us free, who visits and redeems us and grants us liberty. The prophet spoke of mercy, of freedom and release. God shall fulfill the promise to bring our people peace. On all by death imprisoned, the sun begins to rise. the dawning of forgiveness upon the sinner's eyes, to guide the feet of pilgrims along the path of peace. Oh, bless our God and Savior with songs that never cease.